Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Fenway Rundown, the premier podcast for all things Boston Red Sox.
You know, people harp on the last place thing, but essentially what's important is the record.
If the Red Sox want people to start thinking the ownership cares, then maybe they should talk.
This is the Fenway Rundown, brought to you by Mass Live. Here are your hosts, Chris Cotillo and Sean McAdam.
Welcome to another edition of the Fenway Rundown. It's Sean McAdam. Today, without my usual co-host, Chris Cotillo, who's recovering from a little surgery. He'll be back soon. But we are thrilled beyond belief to have with us today the great Pedro Martinez, who will join us from Fort Myers to talk about his expectations and the pitching program underway with the Red Sox. Always a pleasure to talk to Pedro, and this is no different. And a reminder, too, that we have our Red Sox Insider text program, which you can join and get up-to-the-minute information from us. You can ask us questions, you can communicate, and you can supply questions, as you did so well last week, for an episode of a mailbag podcast that we did. We'll be doing others soon. So if you want to join Insider Text, all you have to do is text the word join to 617-751-6257, then click the link to subscribe. It's free for 14 days and then a $4.99 charge per month. And without further ado, the great Pedro Martinez. As promised, an opportunity here on Fenway Rundown to speak with the great Pedro Martinez, who joins us live from Fort Myers, Florida. Pedro, great to see you, and thanks for spending a little time with us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure, like always. Always great to talk to you and to let our fans see us and hear us.
That's right. Let's talk, Pedro. I know you've been in camp for about a week or so, taking a look at a lot of the young pitchers. What have been your impressions so far from what you've seen?
My impression is that this team is actually coming back when it comes to talent from within. I think this team is doing a great job at probably rebuilding our minor league system. I've seen a lot of talent. I've seen a lot of great arms. I've seen a lot of guys with a lot of nice bodies and in great shape. It seems to me like the team is taking the right steps towards training the guys better, letting them know exactly what they need to do to be healthy and to be strong. And I'm extremely excited to work with some of these young guys that they have here and some of the ones that are actually in the team.
What's different, Pedro, about the pitching program now that has been implemented by Craig Breslow, by Andrew Bailey, by Justin Willard? Obviously, it's a new front office. It's a new pitching philosophy. What do you see different about what they're trying to do with pitching compared to maybe a year or two ago?
I think it's the inclusion of everybody. It's not just one way, all the way. I think that they're trying to work really hard at making the kids understand and feel confident enough to trust whatever way they offer to them. It doesn't have to really be from the analytics department. It doesn't really have to be from the old goats like me. We have all sorts of people here and all sorts of knowledge to offer to these kids. And it's just a matter of them wanting to buy into the mentality that we're trying to bring and the offers that we have to make to them. I think the kids are willing to listen, to learn. And, I think we're doing a great job at mixing everything in. One way or the other, it has to click with someone that's working out there. And that's what they're trying to get. They're trying to get the kids to believe. And they're also including, I think, the right people. I saw John Lester around here, and God, was I satisfied to see that. When I see Tech, when I see even Breslau, people probably are taking for granted that Breslau is a champion, that Breslau pitched in the big leagues, and he was successful too. I think also Theo in the front office gives you a confidence boost, that he understands how to work with the old school people in the front office, the young, intelligent, Harvard graduate kids that work with us in all sorts of areas. Everybody seems to be on the right pace and on the right track. I hope everybody just thinks like me and probably understand that the culture of winning needs to be back in Boston. And even if it takes us a little while to get it the right way and keep it, maintain it, because that's what we did for the last 20 years. And hopefully we'll be able to get right back to where it was.
What's your communication been like with Craig Breslau? What has he offered to you? What do you walk away from having spoken to him, thinking about what he's trying to get done here?
I think it's been excellent. My communications with Breslau, we have been able to communicate. He understands more than anything that we are people that can help him. We are people that want to help, and we're not really interested in anything else but the good of the team. And he knows, as a former player, as a player, seeing us around was important. So he's taking the right path. He's doing it, and he doesn't have an ego. He checks his ego every single day out the door, and he's willing to ask questions. He's willing to let you participate. He's willing to listen to your ideas. So I'm extremely happy about having the opportunity to work with him and also see Theo around, see Lester, some of the culture that we implanted from 04 to 07, from 07 to 13, and from 13 to 18. I think it's really important that we all get together. We all put together what we had, which was the same main goal: have a good organization, an organization that could be a role model to any other organization, and at the same time, have fun and be good. More than anything, carry that swag that we are good. And we are Boston, and we love Boston, and we love representing Boston.
How did that culture get away, Pedro? It seems like, things have changed in recent years, and that winning culture, or the proper culture, hasn't been in place. What happened?
Well, I can't tell you exactly what happened. I can tell you what I think. I think that there was a lot of miscommunications, because I don't want to say anybody wasn't willing to work with anybody. Everybody wanted to work together. Everybody wanted to do it. Everybody wanted to get it done. The thing is, sometimes you strive towards a path where you want to build your name. You want to also do it right, but do it your own way, and you don't communicate well, not because you don't want to, but maybe because you don't feel confident enough to approach, to do, to ask questions, and you rely a lot on individuality, and you have to understand that a team is a team. It has to go from all the way up on the top to the very bottom, to the people that work in the clubhouse, in the field, in the grounds crew. You have to really work together in order for you to put it all together and understand how much and how important it is to work as a team. And I did not feel like we were working, all of us together. It seemed to me like there were a lot of divisions. One group was on one side doing this, and the other group was on the other side and doing this. And the lack of communication, I think, was the biggest factor.
You're working with a lot of pitchers down there. overseeing both younger guys and more established guys. But I think the one guy that you find most interesting and who has been linked to you the most is Brian Baio, who you have praised in the past for his stuff, for his ability. What does he need to do now to take that next step forward, Pedro?
Just stay healthy. If you watch Brian Baio from this year to last year, you can really tell the maturity he's got from last year to this year, the maturity physically. And during that one season in the rotation, and actually flirting with being the number one, I know we didn't have established guy pitch all year, but he really did it well for a young kid. And I'm extremely proud to see how much work he put in, not really totally understanding what he was doing. I think this year he understands what it's going to take physically and mentally to be there all year. So physically, he looks better. He has put on like 6 pounds of weight, muscle weight. He looks determined to do what he wants to do. He understands exactly what he wants to do in the bullpen. He understands how he needs to work to stay the entire season in the big leagues. And that's what I'm praying for. I'm praying that he stays healthy, that nothing fails on him, and that he continues to put into play the things that he learned from last season. And I more than anything, I would like him to learn from the mistakes he made, because the good games are easy to remember, are easy, you know, to get by. But the difficult ones are the ones that really teach you what you shouldn't do, so that you don't have the same feeling at the end of the game or at the end of the season. Wow, what could have I done better? You know, and those are the things that I want him to learn from. And I also want him to endure this season as well, because this is critical. This season is the season that takes him to where he wants to be, in order for him to approach arbitration, to erase from everybody's mind the doubts of maybe health or whatever, or pitchability and all that. This is a really, really big season for him, and I'm looking forward to seeing it.
I know that speaking to you last year in spring training, you think the sky is the limit for this guy. You have gone so far as to say that you are envious of his stuff at that point in his career, comparing it to your own and your own career path. How good can Brian Baio be?
Well, Brian Baio is going to be as good as his health allows him to be. I think Brian Baio has the perfect attitude. He's got the charisma. He's got, the guts to pitch. He's got the stuff, and he's only 22 years old. At 22, Sean McAdam, I was wondering what was I going to be in the big leagues, because I had pitched, yes, one season as a reliever, came over from the minor leagues with high hopes to be a starter, and I got up to the big leagues. I did it well as a reliever, yes, but that's not what I intended to be. I wanted to be a successful starting pitcher, and I thought that's what I knew better, and that's what I wanted to be, but I didn't know if I could do it because of the second guessing of how I look physically and how long could I do it for. With Brian Baio, those things are erased, because maybe because of my own influence, because of what I did. So I don't stop ever telling him that he should never stop to listen to anybody that says you can't, because I did it with this physical body, a lot inferior than Brian Baio. I did it at a more difficult time. I mean, it was the steroid era that I pitched the entire career. It was in a small body frame under a lot of, expectations. Because I had bad teams in Montreal, but once I left Montreal and I came to Boston, there were really, really high expectations on me. And I'm thankful and grateful to have actually the same people that had those high expectations pushed me to the limit to do it well. And that was the Boston fan base. The fan base was loyal. They loved me. They loved watching me. They trusted me. And I did the same thing with them. I used them as fuel to go out there and prove them what I could do. And they got me to be better every single time I took them out.
Bayo is not the only young pitcher trying to establish himself in this rotation. Alex Cora has talked about guys like Hauk, like Crawford, like Whitlock, and sort of challenging them, saying they're not kids anymore. They've been around longer than Bayo. They have more experience. What do you see for that group of guys trying to go to the next level and be more consistent with every turn?
Well, as you know, some things change. And the way pitching has been changing over the years, over the last, I would say, 7 years, I think affected some of the things that the kid were supposed to do while coming over and adjusting to the big leagues, especially for a kid like Whitlock, who was successful, showed flashes of being great in the big leagues, but really the uncertainty of not understanding what was out there for him. Was it being a starter? Was it being a reliever? Was it an end of the bullpen kind of guy? He was searching. And that is the worst for a young, talented pitcher or player, is to not know what your program is, to not understand what you need to do every single day. If I threw Whitlock from the first day in the starting rotation, even if he had gotten hurt, he understands he's a starting pitcher. But because you use him in relief and he was successful, now you're second-guessing yourself. Is he really a starter? Is he really a reliever? He looks better as a reliever than he did as a starter. So which way should I use him? And that affected Alex, too, and affected the performance of the team because they didn't know exactly what to do with him. And it takes time, Sean. Even for me, it took time for me to understand what to do to become better, to really get a hold of what I needed to do to then put it into play and trust it. I think it's been the same way with those guys that came over. Tanner Houck, how many times has he been in the starting rotation and then put back into relieving? Pivera, we've seen him now in the bullpen and coming back and pitching great games as a starter and then go back to the bullpen. Inconsistency comes because they haven't had a steady program where they can say, this is what they have me doing. This is what I'm going to be doing. Mom, Dad, I'm going to be one of the starters in the rotation this year. They cannot say that. And that forces some of the guys to actually search a little bit and not understand exactly what they need to do.
Is it important, Pedro, for guys to learn how to pitch deeper into games? Is that something that is as much mental and physical? Because innings were a big issue last year with this staff.
I think it's important that they learn how to navigate the struggles more than anything. Innings, easy innings, not a stressful innings, those are easy, Sean, for anybody. Even a kid, you bring a kid from minor leagues and he goes and breezes by 5 or 6 or 7. There's nothing special about it. But when you have to navigate through situations, through difficulties in the game, that's what makes you really realize who you are, the kind of character you have, and your makeup as a pitcher in the big leagues. And that's what they need to do. They need to actually live through not only the good days, but also some of the bad days and learn to navigate those. And that happens on top of the bump. The one thing I would just say from my own point of view and my own experience is that everybody goes through a struggle. Everybody has a clunker in them. I mean, we all feel great when we have a game and you strike out 15 and you get 2 hits and 9 shutout innings, that's great. But the days that you don't have shit, I'm going to say it, shit, and you go out there and you still navigate 7, you navigate 6 or 7 and you keep your team in the hunt, those are the most rejoiceful kind of days that you should have because you just didn't have it. and yet you put your team in position to win. Those are the most important thing. And mentally and physically, we have to teach those guys how to do that, how to rely on their team, how to understand that it's not about them individually. It's about the team and keeping the team in an area where they can sooner or later catch up to the other team or maybe win that game when you don't have it. And the responsibility you carry is as a number one, because a lot of people might say, well, I'm the number five starter for the Red Sox. No, you're the number one on day five, because the other four have already pitched and they cannot pitch unless it's an emergency on that day. You are the number one on that day. And that is not my own words. Those are Felipe Alou's words for me. And one of the guys that really influenced my career mentally, physically, and in all aspects.
Pedro, you talked about the fans pushing you when you first came to Boston. I'm sure you know that there's a lot of frustration on the part of Red Sox fans after two straight last place finishes, after three last place finishes in the last 4 years. And the team wasn't as active as most fans thought they were going to be this past winter. Did that surprise or disappoint you? And why do you think that maybe going after stars and spending the way they once did is no longer the course taken by ownership?
I think you know it, and I think the fans know it. It hasn't panned out for us to go after the stars. I think we haven't had the success we expected. Yes, we did taste a little bit of what we invested in some of the players, but some of us also understand that we have been burned by going out there and getting the big guys and the big names and then getting rid of our minor league system, which was number one when we first started here. And ever since, we haven't been able to recoup. And when the stars go down, well, we don't have anything to bring up. I think we need to find a balance between good players, keep the key pieces that we have. I think we need to have some of the young talent that we have take the opportunity to prove what they can do and make them comfortable, make them understand that they have responsibility, even though Boston loves them because they're homegrown kids and Boston wants them to be successful. They have to also understand that they have to perform for Boston because Boston is really aware when you're hustling and when you're not, especially when you come from the farm system here, which they eyeball every single day. So I think we have to invest a little bit more in our organization, people that understand Boston, people that are going to love being in Boston. And instead of going and spending a lot of huge amount of money in different, you know, free agents and stuff like that, that are not going to love Boston, that would never adjust to Boston and would never probably be able to do it in Boston, mostly because of the social, the media and, you know, the scrutiny that goes around and the demand that Boston has, because Boston is the most loyal fan base. So, but they are demanding and they want the ownership to do those things. But we have to find a balance to put both together. Good players from the outside and homegrown players together to love Boston. Players that you can identify that will probably fit into the clubhouse, fit into Boston, fit into the city, and understand exactly what Boston is going to be all about. And those are the kind of players that you kind of pinpoint. Sometimes not the greatest player, but the player that's going to play a key role in playing for Boston and understanding what Boston is going to be asking from those players, instead of going out there and spending the huge amount of money for the huge, beautiful name that you have out there and not being comfortable in Boston or not feeling well in Boston and not understanding that Boston is the way it is. For me, the greatest city that I ever played has been Boston. But I don't know if for everybody else, but I know for David it was. I know for some of the guys, for Tech it was. Some of the guys that won with me actually embraced Boston just like Boston embraced them. So I'm watching some of those guys from 07 13 and 18. And those guys love being in Boston, every one of them. Some of them had their little back and forth, but once they saw the entire team or the majority of the team go at it with the same mentality towards Boston, well, they had no choice but to go become our F city.
What's the best case scenario for this season, Pedro? What are your expectations?
I think we're going to surprise a lot of people. Ambush. I would say ambush instead of surprise. I think we're going to ambush if we stay healthy, because a lot of people probably will go. I think we're going to fly under the radar. And we have a lot of the things that I love to see in the team. I see a lot of good arms, guys that like Whitlock, like Hauk, like Bayo, that have had some taste of the big leagues now, and they have some experience, and they also have some knowledge of the league, and they also have players that are capable of stealing bases, running the bases, play defense. They have enough experience, right along with young, talented arms and good arms in the bullpen and in the starting rotation. It's just a matter of staying healthy. We cannot afford to lose anybody for too long this season, because the team does not have the tools to compete while being injured. We need to stay healthy, and we need to ambush a lot of those teams that are going to take us for granted. That's what I see, Sean McAdam. I don't know. I might be wrong, but I think we're going to surprise some teams, just like Baltimore did last year. Everybody thought Baltimore, oh, too young. They're 2 years behind. No, Baltimore showed up, and they stuck together, and they did it. I bet you nobody's taking Baltimore for granted anymore.
Pedro, it's always fabulous talking baseball with you. Can't thank you enough for your time today. I hope to see you when you come back from the Dominican, but if not then pretty soon down the road. Always great catching up. Pedro, thanks for the time.
Thank you. Thank you, Sean. And always a pleasure.
As I noted, always a thrill and a pleasure, and so informative to talk pitching with Pedro Martinez. We could go for hours. We were lucky to get him for as long as we can. We appreciate Pedro's time and the help of the Red Sox media relations staff to make that happen. And a reminder that you can join our Red Sox Insider text program and stay up to date on all Red Sox news. You get breaking news alerts. You get the ability to text me or Chris Cotillo or Chris Smith, get our feedback, and of course, contribute questions when we do mailbag episodes of the Fenway Rundown. And to do that, all you have to do is text the word join to 617-751-6257. It's $4.99 a month, and that comes with a free 14-day trial period. We think you'll enjoy it. We'll be back soon with another episode.
This has been the Fenway Rundown, brought to you by Mass Live.